What's poppin', everybody? Happy. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Doesn't seem right, does it? It's a holiday, whatever.
The next holiday, right?
Yep. For most. But a holiday to us means no pay. So, guess what we're doing? We're working because we want to get paid today. And we've got Mark, we've got Jay, we've got me, and that's all we need for tonight because it is a holiday show. Maybe a tad shorter. I don't know. In the end, we'll see. We'll probably end up going 2 hours like we usually do. Or no, we're not going 2:30 tonight. We can't do that.
Jay won't let us.
Actually, you don't have to work tomorrow, do you, Jay?
I don't have to, but I'm going to.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I've got stuff I got to get caught up on.
Oh, man.
How dare you?
A bunch of workaholics we have around here. Welcome to the DealsAndIndeed.com studios. And I'm so happy that somebody, one of our fine listeners, Brian Flanagan, I think his name is.
Brian Flanagan.
Brian bought an F-150 at Zot Ford.
Hey, really?
Heard about it on the podcast.
Cool.
Went over there and picked up leased an F-150.
Sweet.
Yeah. So all smiles on that one. And speaking of our friends.
You should probably say Brian Fanning, just, you know.
Oh, Fanning.
F-A-H-N-I-N-G.
That's not Flanagan.
Yeah, Flanagan or Fanning.
Hey.
It's all Irish.
Sorry about that, Brian.
He's probably English.
No doubt. If you're looking for the best deal on your new ride, check out our friends at Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and DealsInTheD.com. DealsInTheD.com is where you'll find thousands of vehicles listed with the very best prices in the D. During their auto show event, lease a new Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 for just $169 a month. Yep, just $169 a month and over 200 Ram available. Not looking for a lease, they got you covered too. Right now you can save up to $12,000 off a new Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk. So when you're ready for your new ride, check out our friends at DealsInTheD.com. Get there! And auto show the Friday night...
The soiree, the charity preview. I didn't see any of the coverage. How was it?
It's the same show every year, I swear to God.
Was anybody waving to the camera?
Of course. What is it about that event that brings out the ham in these people? Is it because they're all dressed up? Is that it? They want to be on TV because they look so
that
nice?
That might be it, but it's expensive to go, right? Aren't those tickets expensive?
Oh, yeah. It's like $500.
Well,
big time.
If you had the money to go, would you be the kind of person that would be so enamored to be on TV?
I don't think so, but it always surprises me. And it's always the same people for virtually the entire show.
Right,
that's what I can't figure out.
That's the worst part about it. Did they show anybody in their dresses and in their tuxes getting in and out of cars?
Yeah, they had a little bit of that, of course.
Yeah. Anybody in the electric smart car? Or am I still stuck in it?
I think you're the only person that's been in that car so far. Wait, who was... Baby,
yeah, Glenn's
daughter, was dancing with Helio Castro.
Oh,
wait,
really?
That's the race car driver, right? Helio.
Yeah.
They boogied down a little bit. That might have been the highlight of the show for someone, not for me. Someone that might have been the highlight of the show.
Probably Diana.
Yeah, for Diana. The women.
She
always
loves him. Yeah. Remember how much she loves Helio? She was rooting for him when he was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's
Diana Lewis.
Right. I forgot about that.
Her mom, Glenda's mom.
Well, I got to tell you that the auto show, it's funny how everything seems to just stop here during the auto show, doesn't it? It's all you read about are cars. And everyone, even TV and the charity previews, no exception, all these news people are forced to become salespeople. It's a little... just feels kind of funny. I mean, I bet it feels kind of funny for them, but I'm sure they don't have much choice.
No. Somebody said that it brings, $500 million into the economy? Is that possible? That seems like a ridiculous amount of money.
I'm not buying that. I bet it's a lot of money, though.
$500 million?
That charity previews raised $110 million for kids.
Yeah, $5 million this year, I think, right?
Yeah, 5.2. Wait, $500 million?
That seems ridiculous. What does a Super Bowl bring into an economy?
About that,
it's here it's here for a whole week.
Yeah, it isn't about 100,000 people go a day, don't they? Yeah, it's a lot of people. That's a lot of bodies.
It's possible.
And, you know, everyone that goes downtown talks about how different it is. People are actually walking around. It's like a real city.
Downtown's like a real city anyway now. If you go down there during rush hour, there's people walking around. It's weird.
It's changed a lot. I think the last 2 years have really been dramatic.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had a story on Detroit growth for 2016. $1 billion were spent on projects. $1 billion. Dan Gilbert, by the way, spent $451 million.
Wow.
Altogether, not just this year. But, of course, there's a complaint that it's all spent in that 7.2 square mile area. What about the neighborhoods?
It's got to start somewhere.
When the neighborhoods are worth investing in, when, you know, you can, well, first of all, how many people want to spend $2,000 for a house,
you know,
put 20 in it, and see if you can get a renter?
That kind of statement, though, makes me wish Gilbert would just go, you know what, fine, all right, see ya, I'll go somewhere else then.
I know, exactly. It's got to start somewhere. That's,
yes.
Of course,
build outward.
Somewhere. Of course that's where it's going to start. And the neighborhoods, by the way, until you can leave a house empty for more than 2 hours without it being stripped of every valuable thing in it.
Or squatted so you have a new roommate.
Then I think people might invest in neighborhoods, but until then... And I do feel bad for people stuck there. It's a horrible situation. But anyway, let's not get all bummed out. We had
that's a good thing. The auto show's a good thing. I was the only thing that bummed me out about the auto show is that Lego car wasn't there when I was there.
Oh, yeah, the Batmobile Lego car?
The Lego Batmobile.
That is the hit of the auto show.
Tom loves Batman. I love Legos. What could have bonded us more than a Lego Batman car?
You know, you didn't talk about it.
It wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
They waited until, I think, today to unveil it, or yesterday to unveil it, Saturday.
They wouldn't unveil it for the media and for Industry Day. I'm surprised.
For the charity preview.
Yeah. Last night, SNL had one of the funniest openings. I thought this might have been the funniest Trump thing. Well, of course, they got Russian prostitutes peeing on
Yeah.
What could be funnier than that?
And just that whole mockery of a press conference, too, to play off of.
Yeah,
satirized.
No, they had a lot of material to deal with, and I thought they did very well. As you want to roll?
Yep. That prop of all the paper.
Hello, thank you for coming. I'd like to start by answering the question that's on everyone's mind. Yes, this is real life. This is really happening.
What a strong opening joke.
January 20th, Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States. And then 2 months later, Mike Pence will become the 46th. I am so excited to live in the White House. I'm even going to have a little pet, like all the presidents do. Bill Clinton had socks, Barack Obama had bow, and I'll have Paul Ryan. I mean, I'm not gay, but I cannot wait to give it to that man for 4 years.
I can see him saying that.
I can totally see him saying that.
For my inauguration day. Yes, thank you to those people over there who I definitely did not pay to do that. And we've got some of the biggest performers in the world lined up. Hold on to your tits and bits, because we have got three doors down. Also, from America's Got Talent, we've got Jackie What's-Her-Face. And best of all, we've got the one rock cat with the least money in her savings. We've also got some huge A-list actors coming, like Angelina Jolie, Ryan Gosling, and Jennifer Lawrence. They will all be at my inauguration, courtesy of Madame Tussauds. Now, as you all know, this is my first press conference in 6 months, and there is so much to talk about. I'm bringing jobs back. I'm picking the best cabinet. So go ahead. Ask me anything. Yes, you.
Hey, ABC News, I'd like to ask you about your big Russian pee-pee party.
No, I am not talking about the pee-pee. Because it didn't happen. And it wasn't as cool as it sounds. Next question.
It wasn't as cool.
Yes, Justice Scalia's death has left a vacancy on the Supreme Court, and many are wondering about your timeline for a replacement. So I guess my question is, did you guys, like, all pee? Or did you just, like, watch them
guys,
pee?
Guys, no, I do not want to talk about the pee-pee. I want to talk about what is really important, which is jobs, okay? Because I am going to bring back a thick stream of jobs back to this country. The biggest, strongest, steadiest stream you've ever seen. This country will be literally showered with jobs. Because I am a major whiz at jobs. This will be a golden opportunity for me as president to make a big splash. Now, who's with me? I know you're in. How about you? You're in? You're in? You're in? You're in? You're in? Okay. Next question.
Yes, Mr. Trump, you and the Republicans want to repeal Obamacare, but why would you do that before coming up with a replacement plan?
Because Obamacare is a disaster, and I actually do have a replacement plan, okay? I just read about it this week. It's a terrific plan, just great. It's called the Affordable Care Act.
That's the same thing as Obamacare, and if you repeal it, 20 million people will lose their health insurance. I mean, people could die.
Listen, sweetheart, I'm about to be president. We're all going to die. Next question.
Yes, Mr. Trump, many people are concerned about all your business conflicts. Have you taken the proper steps to divest from your companies?
Yes, I have. I've turned over all my businesses to my two sons, Beavis and Butthead. They're here today. Can we get a shot of them? Shot
this of is them? Hilarious, the picture of them. Their hair slicked back.
Look at those two little American psychos. You can tell they're good businessmen because how slick back their hair is. Explain how it's going to work, boys.
I'll be in charge of the day-to-day operations as well as overseeing all new deals moving forward.
And I'm Eric.
Thanks, boys. Now, I know some of you think I'm not really divesting from my companies and this is all a big scam. But here with actual proof is my tax lawyer.
Hello. Yes. Hi. My name is Sherry Dillon. I'm his lawyer. And this right here is all the papers that prove Mr. Trump is really divesting. I mean, look at all these papers. If he wasn't divesting, how could there be so many dang papers? This paper's here. This paper's here. I mean, it's like, help, help, lifeguard. I'm practically drowning in papers. Still don't believe me? I read every paper out loud right now, starting with this one. Oh, that's right. They're fake.
God, I'm loving this press conference. I love the press. I respect the press. Let's take another question from the press.
Hi, yeah, I'm from BuzzFeed. And
No, not you, BuzzFeed. You're a failing pile of garbage. You want to know why? Because I took your quiz yesterday, and I'll tell you right now, I am not a Joey, I am a Rachel. Who else has a question? I love the press.
Yes, Jim Acosta, CNN.
No, not CNN either. You're overrated. You're fake news. I tried to watch your network last night, and there was just some crazy blonde woman spouting lies.
That was Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, right. God, I love Kellyanne. Every day it looks like she does the ice bucket challenge with her makeup. Next question.
Hi. Dr. Ben Carson's confirmation hearing this week has been characterized as shanky. Are you sure he's qualified for this cabinet position?
Let me tell you something. Ben Carson is great. He's going to be the best brain surgeon to ever run the housing department. If he has any trouble, I just appointed someone yesterday to help him out. This man is an African-American icon who has done so much for our country.
It's so ridiculous because it's true.
Congressman John Lewis, that man is a hero.
No, I got someone even better. Steve Harvey.
It's true. It's that shit.
Yeah, that's right. It's me, Steve Harvey. Yeah, I do government now. Does this bode well for our country? Survey say.
Thank you, Steve. Let's take another question.
Hello, Mr. Trump. The intelligence community has said definitively that Russia hacked the election. Why won't you say on the record that you agree with them?
I will. I'm happy to say that.
Then do it. Say Russia hacked the election.
What's that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What's that?
A little louder. Please.
Okay, fine. Russia hacked the election. Are you happy, Mom? Next question.
Mom. Yes, sir.
It's Putin with his shirt off.
I'm American journalist Wolf Blitzer. Are you sure Russia was behind hacking?
I mean, maybe.
What are you really, really sure?
Hold up a videotape.
It was China. I mean Canada. It was Meryl Streep. Okay, this press conference is over. Thank you all for peeing here. I mean for pissing here. I mean for being here. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Oh, God, that's so strong.
Well, that was a good one.
A good episode, too.
You are fake news.
Oh, yeah, the Bachelor thing was hilarious. I love that.
You saw, though, that he really met with Steve Harvey, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Trump's already tweeted about it.
What is Steve Harvey supposed to do? I didn't quite understand.
He's supposed to help out with housing and urban development somehow.
Okay.
It's Steve Harvey.
But he didn't appoint him to something.
No. Okay. But he met with him.
Yeah, I saw Steve Harvey was impressed.
I can't believe this.
Oh,
did you see
boy.
His tweet, though?
Trump's tweet about Steve Harvey?
No, about the Saturday Night Live sketch.
He said something about their cast is weak or something.
NBC News is bad, but Saturday Night Live is the worst of NBC. Not funny. Cast is terrible. Always a complete hit job. Really bad television. He's hosted it within the last, 7 months, 8 months?
If he doesn't know that this skit is funny, then he's really lacking a funny bone.
Well, not only that.
I can't believe his kids can't tell him or somebody can't tell him, look, it's actually pretty funny, Dad.
Well, you think he could appreciate the satire and, you know, you could look at it as the news media being obsessed with the pee-pee tape, too.
What would Saturday Night open with?
Other than that, yeah.
Nothing, of course. Come on. Whatever.
His press secretary called it inappropriate.
Oh, please. Good. Saturday Night Live is not inappropriate, then they're not doing their job.
Exactly.
Inappropriate. It's a fucking comedy show.
Yep.
Stop it.
Ridiculous. I was reading yesterday in the Detroit News, there's a story about Jennifer Holliday. Is she from Detroit, by the way? Jennifer Holliday, the singer?
I don't know.
Anyways, about she had agreed to sing on the Mall for the inauguration, and let's see what she's... just read the quotes. I didn't see it as singing for Trump. I saw it as singing for people on the Mall. She was hurt by the angry backlash and calls to boycott her music. Boy, what the fuck is going on? Someone can't make... Let's just say she liked Trump. Mm-hmm. Is that a crime? Has the law been passed that you're not allowed to like Trump? I mean, he got elected for fuck's sake. Half the country likes him, I don't know that half the country likes him. Half the country voted for him.
Well, half the voters voted for him.
Okay, half the voters.
His approval rating going in is about, 42%, I think? Bush's was 62.
Well, he won the election. He's the president. There's a pomp and circumstance of being president, and I think it's bullshit to tell people... Well, that's not all. She's getting death threats. Of course she's getting death threats.
Well, death threats are just stupid anyway.
She's been called Uncle Tom. Many suggest she should take her own life. Is that okay, by the way? I mean, nobody seems upset about that.
What? Was it on social media?
Of course.
Okay. Well, then it doesn't count.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No, why is it okay to tell people to take their own life or to kill themselves or you're going to kill them? That's okay, but it's not okay to sing on the Mall at the inauguration. Who are these people anyway? Who are these people who are threatening boycotts? And I heard record companies were putting pressure on performers to not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Wow.
That was, I think it was on TMZ.
That doesn't sound like a record company thing to do. You think if it would albums, it would sell albums.
I wouldn't think a record company would give a shit.
Yeah.
But of course, record company executives haven't had a track record for brilliance the last 15 years.
Yeah.
By any means, they've only ruined their entire industry. Anyway, how could I have so much hate spewing at me? I haven't even done anything. I guess it's not like the old days where your political views were your own and you had freedom of speech. A decision to do something for America is not so clear-cut anymore. It's interesting reading the comments about this, too, because they were mostly agreeing with her.
So did she drop out because of the death threats or the pressure from her
LGBT, I think, was stronger. Which, by the way, what's Trump's crime against gay people?
I don't know.
I know he's offended virtually everyone, but I was just trying to think of what did he do
against
gay people?
Gay people or trans people? Actually, he's said about the bathroom bills that, you know, it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. I don't know if that's really going to be his platform. He said on the 60 Minutes interview, he said the gay marriage thing has been ruled upon. It's done.
I was just surprised that the LGBT community would be so hard on Jennifer Holliday for this. I mean, I would expect a lot of people to be hard on her, but and Marie Osmond is funny. Was it Friday we were talking about?
Yeah,
Marie Osmond she's now saying no. I never said that.
Wow. You saw who? Well, you heard on the bit that Three Doors Down is performing.
I thought that was a joke.
No,
is that for real?
That's for real. They really are.
Who's going to kill them? Aren't they going to be killed?
Oh, no, they're very Christian. They don't care. They're from the South. They'll perform. I don't think they have a problem.
Oh, Toby Keith is performing,
Toby
too.
Keith is, too.
What, he's not going to be killed for this?
No, I think, I don't, would his audience have that big a problem?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to matter what your audience is. It's not really, I mean, I don't think this is Jennifer Holliday's audience telling her they're going to kill her.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. But I don't know if it was Toby Keith or who it was. One country artist was really pissed off about Meryl Streep's speech about how entertainers should stay out of politics, which, of course, people immediately went back on his Twitter feed and found that he said he was voting for anybody but Clinton. But isn't everybody hypocritical now?
I think this country is at an all-time low for stupidity. It's just ridiculous. The divide,
well,
you know,
but, okay,
all this bullshit about bringing people together is just bullshit. Can someone really do it, please? Can someone
you know who should do it?
People together?
The president should do it. The president-elect should do it. The problem is he has a pretty piss poor track record of bringing people together throughout the election.
I'm hardly counting on Donald Trump to unite the nation.
But he's supposed to.
I mean, someone, Obama. Couldn't Obama have done better? Bill Clinton, someone, the Bushes. Jesus Christ, what a fucking mess
but
this
I think
country
that's
is.
The problem is that he's so divisive, and a leader isn't supposed to be divisive.
Well, Hillary Clinton was divisive, too. Obama
Absolutely.
Was divisive. People hated
not,
Obama. A lot of people hated Obama.
Obamacare,
by the way, 48% want it repealed, 47% want it to stay. That's how divided we are.
I think his speech on Friday, is it Friday the 20th, whatever it is going to be huge because, you know, look at Obama's speech at Grant Park. Look at how he handled his transition. I mean, the approval rating for him was sky high.
If
you want to compare the two, going into what they're going into, it's night and day.
No, I'm not counting on Donald Trump to. I'm not saying Donald Trump, please bring the country together, because I don't think he would
but
be allowed to anyway.
He is the one who is supposed to.
But he could say anything, Mark. It won't matter. It will not matter what he says.
I disagree with that.
You think you're ready to be part of the Donald Trump team?
Me?
Yes, you.
Yeah, if he backed off on some of the things he was saying and doing. I don't really care for some of his choices for his cabinet.
I think the people that don't like Donald Trump are never going to like Donald Trump.
Well,
I don't think Meryl Streep is ever going to care. Donald Trump could...
I think a lot of that blame falls on him, though. I mean,
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the blame, or some of the blame, or a lot of the blame.
He probably could have divided or united a lot of people when he talked about Russia, for instance, instead of pitting
Donald Trump community. Donald Trump did not put us where we are. He is the result of where we were. He could never have been elected in any other circumstance. It still blows my mind that he beat Hillary. I mean, how bad a can't? Well,
she's awful. She was terrible.
She's so stupid. What a mistake. Anyway, so Jennifer Holliday is the latest, and Marie Osmond. I got the impression that she was saying that she never agreed to be in it, but I have a feeling she just got whacked.
Well, Lee Greenwood is still performing.
Lee Greenwood is he?
The piano guys are still performing.
Well, then, you know, it's almost as good as the last time around when they had Springsteen, U2, Alicia Keys, Kelly Clarkson, Jennifer Hudson. We've got Lee Greenwood, Tabernacle Band.
Who's Larry Stewart? Larry Stewart's performing.
I have no idea.
Tim Rushlow, Marty Rowe.
We would have such high ratings.
Oh, boy. So... we had another little audio piece. You know, we got a real funny audio piece, too, from, I forgot who sent it in. Somebody sent us audio of Colbert's thing on a guy that got busted for bootlegging polka CDs, DVDs in Warren by Jim Fouts. It's called Nailed. It's a feature that Colbert used to do, and it is flipping hilarious. On this bit, Fouts, by the way, tries to do impersonations of Bill Clinton and Robert Kennedy. Have you seen this?
No,
It's really funny. And I guess just because we've been talking about what's going on over there with Fouts that somebody sent it, it's absolutely hilarious. I don't think we'll have time to play it tonight, but maybe we'll play it tomorrow. There was something on Fox 2, though. Did you cue that up?
Yeah, I got to re-cue it.
We got a house of skank, ladies and gentlemen.
Somebody, Julie sent me a text and said, what are you turning our house into Drew's house? Because when I turn on my sling box, now it turns on the TV. So she went in the basement and the TV was on.
What's the matter with that?
So hang on. Now I got to re-cue it, though, because she turned it off. Oh, is OJ Innocence on right now, according to my sling box? You're going to watch that?
Oh, is that...
Martin Sheen's documentary about how OJ didn't...
Oh, I want to record that.
It's on right now.
What's network?
Investigation Discovery.
No idea what channel that is.
Here, well, you got the voice thing. Investigation Discovery. Is that what it's called?
You got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Look at the juice.
Oh, there he is. The juice. Look at him, so cocky.
Let's see how far you can go without getting pissed off at this.
1992. But the abuse continued. Before they begin their inquiry, the investigators decided to meet with the families.
The guy from Big Brother is the one doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Tanya Brown, one of Nicole's younger sisters.
How much is Martin Sheen hurting for cash that he wanted to narrate this?
Of
the tragedy, the trial, and her beloved big sister.
First and foremost, Nicole was a mother first.
What a great detective.
So, what was her relationship like with her kids?
Nicole was always, like, there.
How did this clown get this gig?
And any reason for her to bring in her family and her friends and her children's friends just made her so happy. You know, his family, my family,
he's not even taking notes.
Arnell and Jason, I mean, she brought so much love.
It's almost like this is made for television.
Making sure everybody was happy. And she made everything so special. And she never waited for a special moment to do that.
Nicole's beautiful.
Let's talk about the actual incident. It happens. How do you find out about it?
Well, it was Monday morning, 6:30.
Hell with this.
Okay, here's five. You ready for Fox 2 last night?
Now that's good television.
And what a great open by Ron Savage here.
Start now. Oh no, it's a stinky situation. Leaving a Detroit family begging for help. Their apartment is overrun with feces. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday night. I'm Ron Savage.
And I'm Amy Lang. This problem going on now for more than a week. Fox 2's Ingrid Kelly has the story.
Imagine not being able to shower or use the toilet in your own home. It's a nightmare that's become a reality for one Detroit family. Sherrod Bowden says his nightmare started last week after a heavy rainfall hit Metro Detroit.
I initially seen black residue bubbling up in my toilet. And so I immediately contacted my management, and she said that she would have somebody take care of the problem.
And 1 week later, Sherrod says his family are still dealing with this.
Look at that, look at that toilet. That's feces right there. Look at that
urine,
picture.
Black mold looking. It's mildew smell. It's just a belligerent smell.
Belligerent smell.
Makes you grasp for air. Makes you cough. But recently, I've been coughing from it. And we've just been trying to keep the place clean as possible as we possibly can.
His phone just went off, by the way.
A main concern for Sherrod and his wife is their 8-year-old son.
Well, my son has asthma.
Get out of the house! He doesn't have anywhere to go. Come on.
He can stay here.
Sherrod says after calling the manager,
might clog your toilet. Look at all the buckets they have.
Two gentlemen out, and they did nothing to resolve the situation.
Wouldn't you love to see those two guys that came out? Yep, that shit, all right, later. I got to back this part up. There's another shot here of the bathroom. Look at one of the things they're using to bail out the feces water.
This flyer.
Saying not to contact the previous man.
Hang on. Oh, yeah, there's a management change.
Saying not to.
From the management.
Situation.
Oh my God! Look, here it is again.
To cope and get a resolution.
They have one of those giant coolers that you put beer cans in, and it's full of feces water and urine water.
Contact the previous management and to start dealing with.
So, where are you shitting at, my man?
So, as you're dealing with this problem, you don't even know who to contact.
No, I don't.
The Fox 2 problem solvers contacted both management companies and did not receive a response. Most people don't think twice about taking a shower or using the bathroom when they're
at home. I
thought
you were going to say taking a shit. It sounded like it was coming. Situation.
Yeah. We don't shower. We can't use the tub. We're not able to use the
this guy pushing his voice.
Restroom, so. was in a porta potty.
Sherrod says whoever a porta potty? Is in charge, he would they buy one?
I think that's what he calls the cooler.
The problem.
I can't keep doing this. I just need a little bit of help.
In Detroit, that Ingrid sucks. Kelly Fox,
oh, God. Years.
Where's the bathroom? I gotta take a dump.
Go get the management company out there to fix that.
He and his wife don't know anyone they can stay with for a couple. I mean, so I assume he's paid rent and doesn't have any additional money to go rent a hotel. Or something.
Well, it didn't look like the ritziest of places.
No, it's just amazing what property owners will do to people.
Yeah, they
are willing to let people the kind of conditions they're willing to let people live in.
And this guy's unbelievable. Boned by a management change too. He doesn't know who to call or where to go.
Yeah, I thought he was just kind of maybe not terribly resourceful. I'm not sure he is, to be honest. But Fox 2 couldn't get a hold of anybody.
There's nothing.
Who takes his check? Somebody takes his check?
Well, you know, it's funny. I paused it when I was watching it earlier. Paused it on the flyer that they sent out.
Yeah.
And it was like, make sure you save all your receipts of your checks to prove that you've paid rent. And it's like,
what?
It's one of those kind of places?
Huh?
That the bookkeeping's so poor by... You know, the landlord that you have to keep track as well, which you should, but still. They're telling you.
Shouldn't need to do that.
No.
Yeah, brother.
Meanwhile, his toilet and bathroom are full of shit.
Oh, my God. That was so bad.
He had a couple buckets in there, too, and one was a Halloween, like, trick-or-treat bucket.
I saw that. Oh,
full of brown water.
Oh, man.
Trick-or-treat.
So basically, the tub and the toilet are just filling up, and they're just trying to stay up with it.
Yeah.
They're just trying to compete with it.
You know, Ingrid Kelly, unfortunately, didn't get the details. I assume he's bailing it out and putting it into the rollaway cooler and then just dumping it outside.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What do you do? They had a plunger just standing there like.
I saw it.
If you could capture that plunger, it would be like nothing I can do. And honestly,
I'm done.
It looks like, you know, when you see a road crew and there's someone just standing there not doing anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the plunger looked like. Like try, you know, it's not my shift.
I know, it looks really helpless.
Hey, I tried. It's your turn now, my man.
Oh God,
that poor plunger. Oh, I feel bad for the plunger.
Oh, it's so
you know
brutal.
He really got in there.
Jesus, what? I mean, what are people supposed to do? I mean, you know, you see this all the time. People who don't have resources. I watched that. I think I told you 2020 on Friday night.
Yeah,
really hard to watch. Did you watch it?
No, but we had a lengthy conversation on the phone about it.
It was about the middle class in America. How the middle class home ownership is at a 50-year low in America.
Mm-hmm.
A 50-year low. That is home ownership. I mean, that's the ultimate goal of people. And they were just talking to all these different people who have all these different circumstances. For example, a guy who lives 80 miles from work and he rides his bike to the train. He takes the train to a bus. He has to ride his bike when he gets off the bus. And it takes him 4 hours round trip every day. And they save nary a cent.
Really?
They're trying to raise two kids. He's 55 years old. He reminded me of The Walking Man, actually.
Wait, what is? How does he get to work? He
rides his bike to the train.
Yeah.
He takes the train to the bus. He takes the bus, which lets him off a couple miles away from work, and he rides his bike the rest of the way to work.
Train fare and bus fare? And
yeah, he can't afford a car.
Oh, man.
They were just showing so many. This one guy had three jobs. He was a fireman. He was a paramedic in two different cities. And they have nothing left over at the end of the month. They had two or three kids. I think the message in this thing I would have to say after watching it was don't have kids until you can make sure you can cover them. I mean,
well, when we were talking about it on the phone, you're like, he's got three kids. I said, oh, God, who would have three kids anyway? Sorry, Jay. I don't know how anybody has more than one.
No, it does seem awfully daunting to have three kids. But when you can't afford them, oh, my God, the pressure.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That sucks.
And so many people.
I don't see anything changing in the next 4 to 8 years.
Well, I mean, look how
better.
Look how long it took to get here. But, you know, a lot of it was about the kind of jobs people used to have. The fact that, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you could be a fireman and you could raise a family on a fireman's salary.
Yep.
And you could buy a home. I think they were saying home ownership. I'm trying to remember what the Although, number was.
When we were talking about this on the phone, you said a lot of it was taking place. A lot of the examples they used were in California.
Yeah, there were a number of California examples.
I don't
examples.
Know if that's the best. But, I mean, the cost of living is astronomical out there.
But they were in Indiana and places like that. Oh, they were. Like okay. That. Yeah. Okay. And actually, bring that audio up, Jay. This is the part about homeownership, I think.
800,000.
Oh, this is California. No, that's New York.
Prices aren't just in New York. It's happening in job markets across the country.
So we wondered
about that other TV home, Roseanne's house in Evansville, Indiana.
Bye.
Bye.
Quick, they're gone. Change the locks.
Her house would cost $129,000. But Roseanne's fictional job on TV was in manufacturing. But in Evansville, the number of manufacturing jobs is shrinking.
So home ownership in America is, where is it now?
Home ownership in America is at a 50-year low.
Wow.
Think about that, Diane. How many things can you think of today are at 50-year lows?
So Americans are right that something profound has changed. In the 1970s, a father on one salary could afford the average new home being built then. It was 1,700 square feet. Two-thirds had fewer than three bedrooms, more than one bathroom, a luxury. The cost? $191,000. But today, the average new house is $360,000.
$360,000.
And the home has grown by 60%, 2,600 square feet. Four bedrooms, not to mention
That's all great, but who can afford it?
As builders keep catering more and more to upscale incomes.
I love this town. I love this community.
This is Marisha Sevilla.
I'm sorry, I didn't expect to get emotional. I can't take my daughter to the dentist.
She's one of the people caught in the vicious choice between affording where you live and affording your life.
And Diane really adds a
middle class.
Dramatic voice to this, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
I think that she's really she can really relate to these people too.
I really think they should have talked about birth control somewhere in this story. They didn't.
Well, they talk about technology and automation regarding manufacturing.
They talked about the manufacturing issues, about manufacturing jobs disappearing, because that's what so many people got by on.
Sorry, you just talked a couple shows too ago about the average cost of raising a kid's $233,000.
Yeah,
just to raise a kid. So.
You know, I was thinking about that. Do they take in like the sacrifices you would spend on other things that you don't spend on anymore? Or no, when they work.
No, and you know what? I think I told you this. They take a portion of the home mortgage and apply it to the child, which is not. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's you're gonna have that house anyway. You want that house? It's your biggest asset.
Yeah, that's dumb.
But it was a pretty grim, I gotta say, it was a tough show to watch. And there were a couple people on there I seriously wanted to write a check. I wanted to just take their name down. I didn't.
Okay, George Michael.
I didn't. I mean, it'd be fun to do that, but, and then I was apprised of something I owed that made me think, I don't think I want to write a check to any strangers at the moment. Well, so you write a check.
Me?
Yeah. It would be fun.
Oh, to be able to pay off people?
Yeah.
You know, that's
be a blast.
When you make money, you can spend it on whatever you want. That's always been my pet peeve when people are like, "Why don't you spend it on, you know, if someone spends it frivolously."
Yeah.
That's your prerogative. I admit when I see things like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation giving mosquito nets to Africa, which you want to get rid of malaria and all that. It's like, okay. Can you maybe help some people here?
Wait, did you say the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation?
Sorry.
Why are you respecting Melinda Gates?
It's been pounded into my head.
The Bill Gates Foundation.
The Bill Gates Foundation. The Bill Sons Melinda Gates Foundation. But,
she just adds overhead to the damn thing. All she's doing.
Well, you know, they cut some checks to these people. Although that doesn't really solve any problems, does it?
No. You know, they did talk about Silicon Valley, though, how the unseen part of Silicon Valley, the maintenance workers and the shuttle bus drivers.
Talk about an inflated market.
And actually, after she taped it, I think she talked to some of the top people, and they said, well, we should do better. And they actually did. They upped those people, and they gave them some better working conditions and more money. And then they had this guy from Aetna. Aetna's investing in their people. Yeah. Their CEO is?
That's a rarity.
Big time. I mean, really trying to help them with college loans and all kinds. It was really, I would say he is a rare bird, Stock price is going up, and yet they spent millions of dollars on their lowest rung employees.
How much did their stock price go up when they dropped out of the ACA, though?
Well, they didn't get into the ACA.
No, I know, but they dropped out this year.
I hardly can blame them. I mean, if they're going to lose their ass.
But it's kind of hard to think you're that benevolent, you know.
Well, at least they're taking care of their employees. Sure. I mean, the rest of the country's not their job. I'd say, you know, if everybody took care of their employees, we'd be a lot better off. It's funny.
I'm sure Aetna Insurance has never really had a, you know, has been very benevolent to all the people that buy their insurance, too.
I'm not a big fan of insurance companies. No. After the whole...
No, was it, unless you work for them.
Katrina.
Yeah.
Finding out that they were instructed to fuck with people.
Of course.
You know, and say, yeah, this isn't... What were they trying to do? They were trying to say that it was not water damage. It was wind damage because the wind blew the water into their house.
That was Sandy. That was not Katrina. I believe that was Sandy, right? Wasn't it?
I think Katrina had...
Katrina, too.
I think Katrina had that. I'm pretty sure because I remember the people were in Louisiana or somewhere
when
this was going on. Yep. I'm pretty sure.
I know 60 Minutes had a big thing with Sandy. They were doing the same thing.
You know, you pay insurance for years and years and years, and you never expect to have to use it. And then the one time somebody's really screwed, and then they pull that kind of BS. But, oh, my God. Hey, let's talk about football a little bit, because we just got to see a good football game for a change.
Finally.
The Packers and the Cowboys. I was so fired up for that game, too. I thought, that's got to be a good game. It has to be, and
that's why it originally was the late game on Sunday. Of course, now there's a game on now because of the ice storms.
Yeah. And Dallas got down early, 14-3.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, 21-3. And Dez Bryant caught a couple long balls.
One of the most beautiful touchdown passes, just perfectly thrown by Dak.
That was really nice. Dak played a great game, I thought.
Yeah, guy's good.
So did Rodgers play an incredible game, as always, and made the one play I didn't think he would possibly make. What did they have, third and...
It was 3rd and 20. I texted you. I said, they'll probably end up doing something stupid like running a draw just to go to overtime.
Yeah, there was like 20 seconds left, I think.
Because you don't make that. Dallas tells a timeout, you know, one long pass, and they kick a field goal to win because the game's tied at that point.
And he scrambles to the sideline and throws the ball, 30 yards upfield?
Yep.
And the guy catches. First they said he was out of bounds. Then they realized it was a good catch. They bring on Crosby, and he made – how long was that last field goal?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
It was 50, wasn't it? 50? Mm-hmm. At least 50?
Mm-hmm.
He was kicking knuckleballs today. Those were weird kicks. Somehow they got through.
The first kick to get him to 31 points was a weird kick.
Yeah, it looked like a knuckleball.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to make it.
Looked like it was going to be wide left, then it looked like it was going to be wide right, then it looked like it was going to be short, and it just snuck through. But that was just a fun game to watch.
It was. How many yards did Dez Bryant have? Did he have a lot of yards? It seemed like he did.
I can look it up. Hang on. 132, 9 receptions.
9 catches.
Yeah.
And Green Bay lost both their wideouts.
Yeah.
Was it Jordy Nelson was out?
Yeah, Jordy was out, and then...
Adams went out?
Got hurt, yeah.
Is he hurt badly?
You know what, I haven't seen an update on him at all, but other than when they said he was not going to return to the game.
You know, the way Rodgers is playing right now, I'm not sure it matters who plays receiver for them.
Isn't he ridiculous?
He is amazing. God, he's good.
The way he keeps plays alive.
I know. He creates 7 or 8 seconds for himself in the pocket just by moving a couple feet here, a couple feet there.
He does have one of the best lines. I mean, those two lines tonight are probably the two best offensive lines in the country.
Oh, you mean the Chiefs and the Steelers?
No, Dallas and Dallas Green Bay. Their offensive lines are phenomenal.
You know, I love that matchup anyway. You know, going back to the Ice Bowl.
Yeah.
And then in recent years, really since Favre and... Those
Aikman, Troy.
Triplet teams. Yeah. They had some good games.
Did you care who won? I mean, were you polling for one team or
the
other?
No, not really. No. I just want to see a good game.
Okay.
Because I'm so tired of seeing shitty games. God, Seattle and Atlanta stunk. The Patriots and Texas stunk.
I know. Nice offense, Houston. New England gave them every opportunity to get a big lead in that game, too. And they couldn't. This has been the problem with Brock Osweiler. He just dumps the pass. That is the definition of dink and dunk offense.
Yeah.
They didn't have one play over 20 yards.
They did not have a play over 20 yards.
No.
Good God.
No. So they were the kings of three and out.
You know what I thought was the coolest thing on Saturday was that Devin Hester had two long returns for Seattle.
Comeback, yeah,
79 yards for a touchdown. Then he had a 70-yard kickoff return, too.
Yeah. And now he's retiring.
Did he retire?
He said, I think that was the feeling. I thought he said it. I don't know if he filed the official paperwork or whatever. Well, not a bad way to go out.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that.
I couldn't figure out like who to root for, though. Not that I needed a rooting interest, Green Bay or Dallas. I think I was rooting for Green Bay when Dallas didn't go for two on the first touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you were right about that. They had to get two at some point. Now, why they put it off, I'm not really sure.
They were down 15, scored touchdowns, so now you're down 9. Do you go for two or do you kick? And they kick, and I think you should always go for two first, so you know what you're playing with.
Right.
You know?
It's almost like they were putting it off so they could pretend they were in the game, even if they didn't get their two. At least it would feel like they were in the game.
I guess.
I don't know what the reason is to put it off. It just doesn't. No. I mean, what, they think they're going to get a safety or something, possibly?
I don't know. I guess just to get as many points as you can. You never know what's going to happen.
Hey, did you hear about the guy who put $35,000 on roulette?
Yeah, I saw the video.
I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, was it in Brazil or Uruguay? Somewhere in South America, right? He was Brazilian.
Yes.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, Uruguay, along the Uruguay coast, Punta del Este. I didn't realize he was some, well, he's got to be a big shot putting $35,000 on a single roulette spin.
Did you see what it looked like sitting on the table?
No.
It's just this tower of chips.
Yeah, I see the stack now. Yeah. I got a picture.
Yeah, and everybody, and I don't know if that's his bets that betted the corners too, the four numbers, or if he just couldn't stack them any higher.
No, I think, I'm not sure.
You can bet corners on roulette?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I always do that.
Well, it looks like there's four corners I'll bet on that same number, but I didn't know if that was because he couldn't stack the chips any higher because it's like a 4-foot stack.
I thought they said he bet $35,000 on 32.
Okay, wow.
And it hit 32. He was going to do one spin. I mean, nobody gets this lucky. He won $3.5 million.
Well, I'm sure he needed it.
So this guy's a big shot.
Who can put that much money on one number?
It's funny. When I first read the story, I thought maybe this was just some guy who was trying to change his life. But, yeah, it turns out it's some big
Well, then I'd be pissed at him for just putting 35 on a number.
I know. It's insane. It's utterly insane.
It looked ridiculous. Is that the video?
Yeah.
Okay. How come no one's speaking English?
Yeah, what is this?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
Huh?
Why don't you put the drink down and see what you're doing?
Well, no wonder he bet that much. He's hammered.
Obviously. Can't understand a word he's saying.
There's a universal language.
I always wonder if the employees are secretly really bummed because they know it means no Christmas bonus or...
Oh, you mean the person working there?
Well, the bosses and stuff. You figure they have to be upset when somebody wins big. I would think it can't be good.
Well, although you would think they would get tipped pretty heavily.
I guess.
Maybe not the management positions, but I could see the person working the wheel being like,
by the way, I don't understand tipping people in a casino. Why would anyone in a casino need a tip? I mean, it is a license to print huge, huge sums of money. Why would they count on the public to do anything but throw their money away there? Why are you asked to do more? Isn't that ridiculous?
That's hilarious, yeah.
I mean, even when you win...
They don't get paid much. Remember, Tom used to be a dealer. We talked to him about it.
I think dealers make like $40,000 or $50,000, something like that. But yeah, they count on tips.
They could be paid a lot more.
Hell yeah, they could be paid a lot more. My God, they make so much money. Could you believe Greektown Casino was bankrupt at one time?
Yeah, I know.
What did they do?
I don't know. Kickbacks?
I mean, did 14 win in blackjack or something? Did they make a mistake? You got to figure there was some...
They were paying out on anything over 14.
I know. I mean, what the hell? How could that happen? Anyway, I always see people tipping, too, when they win. You know, if they win anything, you haven't lost more than you've won in your life?
You're basically
way behind, no matter how much you win.
You're giving the house's money to the employee, which they should be doing anyway.
Exactly. I was on Dr. Roche's site today.
Yeah.
And if you're interested, I mean, everybody's got something they don't like. And that site has so many, I forget how many things they do. You know, they had a lot of people with sun-damaged faces that they do. Trudy and I were talking about that BBL laser we both got on our face. And they were showing people with this horrible, just brutal sun damage. And they really look amazing. Some guys with these exploding blood vessels, you know,
yeah.
that look. Ugh. And that laser takes care of that stuff. But everything they do over there, I mean, so many I wasn't sure what Verge was. That's actually why I went there. That's the when they got liposuction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where they take the and those things work very well for people who are specifically, you know, if you're trying to lose that last 20 pounds or whatever. You know, a lot of people go in there who are way overweight, I think, and
yeah.
they hope, and that's not really the ideal candidate. But let's face it, everybody seems to have something they could do probably at Dr. Roche's cosmetic surgery office. Bikini season is what they're talking about now. Will you be ready? Dr. Roche is Southeast Michigan's premier double board certified cosmetic surgeon, offering the latest in surgical and non-surgical procedures in a relaxed and fully accredited surgical suite. If you need to fill out that bikini top, no more padded bras. Dr. Roche has several different breast augmentation options for you to choose from. Saggy skin. I guess saggy skin is a big deal now.
Yeah, you know, the necks, people lose money, or lose weight too.
Yeah, and the neck, you know, that telltale. It's funny too. When I got the BBL, I said, Can you shout that laser on my hands? I had all these
what?
Freckles. I don't know why. It's really weird. I remember when I got hair removed my back when they did that one on me. It's like, I think they've practiced every new laser they've gotten on me in the last 20
years. Oh, you're a guinea pig.
Anyway, my hands just looked really old to me. And I was like, why are all these freckles on my hands? I was looking at all my sisters and brothers, and I was like, their hands aren't freckled like mine. What's the matter with my hands? So anyway, they did it on my hands.
Hey.
Freckles.
So he likes my hands.
So anyway, yeah, that's what the BBL is, the forever bare BBL treatments. Also surgical, non-surgical, liposuction, skin tight, yeah, saggy skin. Get rid of those age spots, sun spots, body hair for the months ahead with the new Forever Young and Forever Bare BBL treatments. No one has more options and solutions for your conditions than Dr. Roche. He's got it all, so get your summer body now. Come see Dr. Roche and the amazing staff, 248-338-1110. Try to schedule a consultation, 248-338-1110, or visit the website drroche.com. That's DRROCHE.com. And it's a great time to be a buyer right now in today's market. And Hall Financial is the premier lender specializing in client-first focused mortgages. These are the guys we recommend to anyone looking to buy a home. With winter considered the supposed slow season of the year, sellers are more likely to negotiate. Not to mention there's less competition, and with this mild winter we're experiencing, it's the perfect time to get the home you want at a good deal, at a stealing deal. Call Hall Financial to get your financing today, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com. Or if you're not quite ready but want to shop come spring, get ahead of the competition by getting pre-approved. Call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. Find out your overall situation, including your payment and down payment on the home you want. 248-308-5000 or davidhallmortgage.com. Don't you love people that don't get pre-approved and they want to make an offer on your house? Like, oh, they couldn't get the financing. That's crazy.
That happens a lot. Get everything in order.
Get your act together.
Do it. Let's go. Call them. Do it.
Hey, did you see there was news on D.B. Cooper?
Yeah, his tie, right? Don't they have his tie?
Yeah. His necktie has led to, and he's the guy that the skyjacker who.
It's one of the most fascinating cases of all time.
And his name's not D.B. Cooper, by the way. That's what they thought he said. Dan Cooper, I think.
Yeah.
And that's not his name.
D.B. Cooper sounds way cooler.
It's so funny to think how easy it was to fly back in the day. You didn't even have to have an ID. Mm-hmm.
Well, weren't there
crazy?
Weren't there a lot of hijackings in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. There were tons of them. And he just wanted $200,000 and a couple of parachutes.
Yeah.
And the kind of parachute he wanted,
wasn't it military grade?
Yeah, it was a military type of parachute. So they assumed that he had been in Vietnam.
Yep.
And but they really never had any luck figuring out who this guy was. They also never found a trace of him. They insisted that he had to have died, because even though he told them not to fly over 10,000 feet, and they didn't, They felt that he could not have survived that fall.
Where
it
he
was
landed,
too cold.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, it was too cold. Yeah.
It was rough terrain.
Yeah, the terrain was horrible.
Where they found some money, too, which were the right bills, I believe.
Not that much of it, though. They just found like a handful of bills some kid did like 10 years later, I think. It was a long time
ago. What kind of nerd turns those bills in?
I know.
Kid.
What an idiot. There's been a million. There's so many cool speculations. This is a really fun thing to read about if you like mysteries.
Yeah.
Because there are a number of people who have been suspected D.B. Coopers because a lot of people, well, it's funny how people root for this guy, too.
Well, it's not their money.
No, true. A lot of people feel
he didn't kill anybody. He didn't hurt anybody, right?
No, he didn't. Yeah. He really, I think he, did he say, yeah, he said he had a bomb, and he didn't. He just had a box with a bunch of wires in it.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be easy to pull that off. I mean, if you really...
You do it today, and you're going to be stabbed by by every pen or any kind of conceived weapon person has on the plane.
Yeah, it's not it's such a different world now. Yeah. It's funny, too, though. You know, you mentioned all the skyjackings in the 70s, or the hijackings, and the fact that you still didn't need an ID to get on an airplane. It's so weird.
I remember one of my...
And smoking on planes, too. People smoked all they wanted.
Yeah.
People smoked like crazy.
I remember flying. I mean, I'm only 41, but I remember being on a plane where people smoked. Of course, then that's when they pushed you guys to the back.
Yeah.
Hey, smokers, in the back of the plane, which is kind of ridiculous.
I know, as if that dividing line, no smoke gets past that point. It all stops right there.
Keep it all back there. But I do remember, too, I flew with somebody else's ticket once. Like, they couldn't go on the trip. And they're like, hey, just use my ticket. And I didn't need anything. Well, you didn't need any ID. You just
How bizarre. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, of course, you could use any ticket.
I would have been like, in the seventh grade. How old are you in the seventh grade? Like
11 or, no, 12, 13.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
13, I think.
Yeah, so you're talking 89, 90.
Wow. There was a guy I read about who had taken books out of a library on D.B. Cooper, and he had highlighted certain parts of the book that they thought were really intriguing. It was actually his girlfriend, after the fact, who found these books that the guy didn't return.
Yeah.
And said, well, it looked like he wrote in these books. And then she noticed what he was reading about. And she actually went to the FBI, I believe.
Huh.
And for some reason, they eliminated the guy, and she thought they were crazy because he also had a bunch of... He spent a lot of fresh $20 bills. She was always bugging him, like, where do you come up with all these $20 bills all the time?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool story. And there are a few other cases like that, too. There was a real mysterious guy who also had a lot of $20 bills, according to his neighbors and people that knew him, although he was kind of mysterious and quiet and disappeared at some point without really leaving a trace.
But you haven't mentioned the news on D.B. Cooper today. Sorry.
Yeah. The necktie... After examining the J.C. Penney tie left behind by D.B. Cooper, it was discovered there are a number of rare elements on its surface which indicate he may have worked as an engineer for Boeing before the historic hijacking. It was on Boeing Airlines that he hijacked,
yeah,
right?
Northwest, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Northwest?
I thought it was Northwest Airlines. Could be wrong.
You know, he was out in the West Coast. I think I just assumed it was Boeing because of where he was.
Well, Boeing makes the plane. I'm just saying it was Northwest
Airlines.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, duh. Cooper left his tie in the plane before parachuting out the back. Using electron microscope, scientists were able to pull more than 100,000 particles from the tie, which contained traces of rare earth elements. They're used in very narrow fields for very specific things. Such elements include cerium, strontium, sulfide, and pure titanium. They were used at the time of Cooper's hijacking by Boeing in the production of their supersonic transport plane. Boeing was cultivating high-tech equipment like radar screens in the 60s and 70s, which utilized the elements found on Cooper's discarded tie. It went with him in these manufacturing environments for sure.
Here's what I don't understand. How does that help him hijack a plane and get away with it, even if he worked for Boeing? I mean, I guess it helps finding his identity, which is fine.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to figure out. People still want to know who he is because they closed the case like a month ago. They just closed the case. And people were shocked that they would close the case because people are so fascinated by it.
Well, how many Vietnam veterans worked for Boeing or would have handled those, you know, those... elements and then find out how many are still alive and where they're at.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to figure out. Plus, there's a good sketch of him. I mean, a lot of people saw it.
I think he thinks he looks really cool in that sketch.
Yeah, I think he thinks he's pretty cool, too. Especially doesn't he have sunglasses on?
And one of them, he's got shades on. But we all know, Cooper, that that's a clip-on. So you're not fooling anybody in that sketch.
It was a clip-on tie.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And how pathetic. He did have a bourbon, and he lit a cigarette before he...
Oh, this guy thinks he's so cool, and he kind of is. You know what I mean?
He's kind of cool. Kinda well, the fact badass. That he seems to have gotten away, too.
Well, he's hitting on a stewardess on that flight,
That's
too.
That's right! Yeah. You imagine that? Just drinking your bourbon, hitting on a stewardess, flicking your cigarette, ripping your necktie off.
I'm going to be a rich man soon.
Later!
It'd be fun if you slipped there. It's like, I work for Boeing.
Yeah.
If you work for Boeing, though, why would he need to steal $200,000? That would probably be a pretty good job, you'd think.
He was sick of the rat race.
Maybe got blown out.
Where did it take off from? Did it take off from Seattle?
Yeah, I think it took off from Seattle, and I think it was going to... Wait a second. I know they said... Man identifying himself as Dan Cooper bought a ticket to Portland International Airport. He flew to Seattle, and then that's when he took the plane over, and I think they were flying to... Wait, let's see. Was it back to... Nevada, maybe?
You ordered him to go back to Reno.
Yeah, and he jumped out of the plane somewhere along that route, but it was the topography was very unfavorable to land in a parachute, and also to get anywhere it was a long hike for this guy to get to safety. Yeah.
That's why I think he's dead.
But they never found a trace of him. I mean, it really is one of the...
But people can disappear, right, in that landscape?
Yeah, I mean, sure, of course. You would think some hunter would find him would find evidence of him.
Kid found all that money.
There he is with the glasses. He's hot.
That's a clip-on.
I know. How ridiculous.
I still think this is like why it's one of the worst sketch drawings of all time, but Ted Kaczynski obviously thought he was hot based on that sketch. And it looks it looks nothing like him.
Unabomber, you mean with the hood on?
Yes, and the giant aviator glasses. It doesn't look like Kaczynski, who went to Michigan, by the way.
Oh, it looked nothing like Kaczynski.
Pride and joy of the university. So
the lady in the brilliant Ted Kaczynski.
I'll never forget, I went to a museum and they had his cabin there. What a shithole.
Oh, yeah.
What a total dump.
Absolute dump.
Ugh, and now, what
they took his
stunk.
Cabin. They literally put it on wheels and took it somewhere, didn't they?
It's at the museum now.
Wow. Did you happen to see Dateline last night, did you?
Negative.
They had a great true crime story.
What was it?
It was this.
Oh, you know, I saw the beginning. The chick that was really hot.
Yeah, she was very pretty. Yeah. She was 43 years old, gorgeous. And she had met this guy. They were dating for a couple months, and then... He bought her a $20,000 engagement ring, beautiful ring, and for some reason they had split up. In fact, she had supposedly even gone on a date with somebody else, and they thought this guy acted really strange. She was killed in her home. She was asphyxiated, and there were zip ties. She was tied up, but the zip ties were cut off and taken away, so there was no trace of whatever kind of zip ties this person used. But she was basically strangled, but there were no prints. There was just nothing, no DNA. I mean, they really had a tough case. But people in the neighborhood had called police about somebody who would just knock on doors and say he was interested in buying a house. He was interested in paying cash for a house in the neighborhood. You know, were they interested? And a lot of these women were home alone, and all of them thought this guy was freaky and weird and scary. And
they answered the door.
A couple of them didn't, by the way. They talked to him through the door. But there was one realtor who said this guy called and he only wanted to look at vacant houses.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and claimed he was going to pay cash for a house. And he was always behind the realtor and she was really scared.
What year was this? I mean,
this was like 2 years ago,
right?
I think.
Okay,
yeah,
wouldn't they have the guy's name who was looking for vacant houses? If he
no, they didn't. But one lady whose door he knocked on and who was really freaked out by this guy... wrote down his license plate number.
Oh, wow.
But first they went through the whole thing with the boyfriend, you know, that she was going to marry.
Yeah, of course.
And this guy just wasn't acting right, and he was kind of a hothead. It sounded like he was...
Great.
Her girlfriends didn't seem to be crazy about this guy, and he just seemed like sort of an asshole. At the funeral, he brought a minister up to the casket. She had an open casket, and he married her.
Ew, why?
He married her dead body. He took, like, the vows to marry her and put a ring on her dead finger.
Did her estate get any money from him?
No. The family took the ring off her, by the way, before she was buried.
Oh, creep.
What a nut. I mean, is that the most screwed up thing.
That's pretty messed up. Wait, what's up with this minister?
I know. That's what that was I a said.
Great idea. Going, is it like Bobbitt? The guy was ordained online and just said, oh, how much are you going to pay me? Okay.
He probably paid Bobbitt $500.
And then he had to pay someone to hold the cue cards.
Ron Jeremy and Bobbitt were both there, it turns out. And Red Peters even sang. How ridiculous.
Oh my and a God. Radio station was there, too, to broadcast it all.
Oh, my God.
So who did?
But anyway, it turns out.
House guy? Did he kill her?
The one chick took the plate down because she was so freaked out by this guy. And so they bring this guy in for questioning. And first of all, he doesn't have any fucking money to his name. He lives in a trailer and is like, you don't have any cash. What are you going to these houses? And he's like, well, I was trying to see what kind of house I wanted to buy. When I could buy one.
Okay, well, now you're guilty of wasting time.
Exactly. He was lying his ass off. And it turned out, oh, what do you know? He had a history of, he'd been married twice. The second woman he married while he was in prison.
Oh, boy.
She was a prison counselor, I think, or something. Anyway, he got off by strangling both his wives. He couldn't get a boner unless he had his hands on their neck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he paid money. Okay, no one pays money to be on a website.
I thought it usually
right?
worked the other way. The person who got strangled is the one that got off.
No, he could only get a Woody if he was strangled. Weird. Somebody. Yeah, so then that was the other thing. He paid money to be on a website of erotic death scenes. And he chose the asphyxiation category. So, I mean, looks a little guilty.
Yeah. That's a thing?
I guess so.
Erotic death scenes? Like for movies and stuff?
I'm predicting one of you will be on one of them any second now. Except you'll need my credit card.
Because your credit card?
You'll be asking me for my credit card.
Something totally unrelated.
But anyway, wow. So this dick got convicted, and he was such a prick, too, because our man, who's the guy with the crazy voice?
Oh, yeah.
It's not Mason Adams from Smuckers, but he sounds like Mason Adams.
It's Keith Morrison. He, honestly, the 30 seconds I watched of it, he had one of the most ridiculous segues going, but it's not murder, or so, you know, but implying something is totally a 180 from what they said.
He always does. He's so good, though. I always like his stories.
I liked it when Bill Hader played him.
He was the best. Oh, but what a dick. Of course they found him guilty. Thank God.
So why did he pick this chick? It was just opportunity. She was home. And
I assume he just must have knocked on the door and said, you know, I'm looking to pay cash for a house. Oh, she was selling her house. She was selling her house, and she was having trouble selling it. So she must have answered the door for this ass and finally found the chick of his dreams to strangle. But he left no DNA, and he cleaned up. They had trouble finding her prints around the house. This guy cleaned up so carefully.
Huh.
And then Morrison interviewed him after he was in jail.
Yeah.
And he was going, yeah, well, you had to strangle your wives and this crazy website.
He's
like, no, I wasn't on that website. It's crazy. He just denied everything. It's like, oh, shut up. You're so guilty, ass.
I want to see what this turd looks like.
Oh, he's total loser. He's fat. He's really big. And he's a minister.
He's a minister. Yeah,
he's a minister. He became an ordained minister, and he probably married the guy at the casket.
I was just gonna say that.
He became an ordained minister, and he kept talking about God too. Keith Morrison's asking all these questions about the case, you know, and he keeps referencing God. And I'm so annoying.
Sickening.
Such a dick. A
turd.
But he'll never be seen again, thankfully.
No, I know, but he took her life.
Yeah, I know. And she was very well liked, had lots of friends, real vibrant life. Really
loser.
Sucked. So.
Wow, what a bummer.
Yeah. But, you know, those cases are always interesting, I find it.
True crime, yeah. It's always fascinating to find out how they bust people or how they catch them.
Yeah, Dateline does a great job with those.
Thank God for that nosy neighbor that wrote down the license plate,
too. Oh, I know.
They never had them, right?
Yeah. Oh, and that was the other thing when Morrison asked him about that. She wrote down your license plate, so people were suspicious of you. And he's like, oh, she wrote down four different plates. Mine was the only plate she wrote down, which is a lie.
But they still found you. You were still the guy going door to door, you dick.
Oh, he was so irritating. God, I hate that guy.
Wow. I usually like when 48 Hours does the stories.
Oh, they do such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't on last night because of the game, which is a bummer. I hate when 48 Hours is on. I always want to watch that show.
I got to tell you, you know, this game on right now, this...
what's going on in the game, by the way? Let's have a partial score for...
For Maz? In memorial to Maz, not? Who's not dead, but just not here?
Yeah. Why not?
It's 12-7. Way to go, NFL.
12-7?
At halftime, the Steelers are leading the Chiefs.
Lordy, lordy.
Okay. But what's interesting is because this game got moved from 1 o'clock to a night game...
Because of the ice?
Yeah, because of the ice storm. Yeah. You watch. This will be a regular thing now because this will do big ratings.
Oh, yeah.
And the NFL's going to go, oh, wow, man, look at all those ratings we get on Sunday night.
I'm amazed they didn't already do this. Aren't you kind of surprised?
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't. You know, now next week when it's the championship games, they do push the other one a little bit later to reach into prime time.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. They will. They'll get monster ratings.
This will be a thing going
looks
forward.
Like a decent game. Did you see the George Michael story about this guy? He picked up what kind of site? I don't know, some kind of gay
an erotic death scene site.
No, not quite.
Oh,
it's just some guy. I mean, he was literally, you know, out of town, and he just went on a site, you know, for Lonely Hearts.
Oh, like Grindr?
Yeah, something. They didn't say the site, but they shared a night of passion. He was in Australia. And he just hooked up with this dude online.
Sweet.
George Michael.
Cool. Why not?
Wouldn't you think George Michael would have, like, the hottest gay dude in the world at his beck and call in every country?
How long ago was this?
2013.
Okay, well, you know, he's disappeared.
And the guy took a selfie with him nude.
Well, at least topless.
Ew. They're so nude.
Is this pre or post coitus?
I don't know, but they did get it on, of see. Course.
Wait, although they're together, so I'm guessing it's pre coitus. I'd assume with guys,
no doubt.
Post-coitus, they're just
there's two guys. We're talking about two guys.
I just picture they high five each other and say, "All right, man, check you later." No cuddling. No post talk.
This guy said George took a break for 20 minutes to meet someone.
What?
Yeah, they're getting it on. George's like, I gotta meet someone for 20 minutes. I'll be right back.
Wait, what?
And then he put a strange. Powder in his drink.
Oh, that's what he was being.
Okay. He's picking up something. I don't know what. But anyway, it's funny. I was reading the comments about
picture,
this.
Man.
The British public is getting really worn out on George Michael. Like, just let him rest in peace. Come on. Well,
they're doing this full-fledged investigation to find who was there the week leading up to it. And
it sounds like a lot of people were stopping by. But they're people with drugs, probably, aren't they?
I guess. Well, you told me that Nile Rodgers was there working on the.
But he never saw George.
I know.
He never saw George.
We speculate he did. He just didn't recognize him because he was so fat.
That's possible. By the way, why did George cut his hair so short? Doesn't it look bad? It looks like it's drawn on his head.
Yeah. Well, his beard always looked drawn on. He's the chameleon of beards.
Oh, the
his
three
facial hair,
the three beard thing with the thing down the middle looks so bad.
It's like you can't find a.
Like I almost don't believe he's gay. It's like, that style is so bad, you can't be gay. I don't believe you. You're going to have to put your dick in some dude for me to believe it.
Here, start with me. No. you can not find, like, a picture from one incident where he's got, like, the same facial hair. He changed his facial hair all the time.
Yeah.
And it's very perfectly manicured.
But didn't that shaved, that hair 1/8 of an inch long look really bad?
That's not a good George Michael look, no.
I don't think so.
No.
I thought he should have dyed it like in the Wham days where he had the wavy, blonde wave.
Walk around snapping.
I know those videos. Seeing those when he died was just
weird.
It was really weird.
Ugh.
Anyway, I can't believe this is the best gay guy George Michael can come up with
online.
Can't he just go, hey, I'm George Michael, and I'm looking for some gay action?
Look, that guy's got a perfectly manicured goatee. I love that he took a photo with him, though.
I know. He was pretty... George Michael was rather reckless.
Wait, this first line in the story, George Michael was addicted to antidepressants and Coca-Cola. Addicted to Coca-Cola. A former lover is claimed. Is this the former lover?
Yeah, that's
the
one.
They spent one night together.
I know. I agree.
Michael answered the door wearing nothing but pajama bottoms, and they made love and drank pink champagne together.
How could they make love? They just met. They fucked.
Sounds like Bill O'Reilly. Boo-foo.
It is. He pulled the Bill O'Reilly move. Let's see what else happened.
They made love. They boo-fooed.
It was very romantic, Drew. He claims Michael told him that he was addicted to antidepressants and drank Coca-Cola by the gallon.
It was not romantic. George took a 20-minute break to make a drug deal.
George's death knocked me sideways, although it didn't surprise me.
Why? How many mirrors do they need in that picture, by the way?
I know.
That's amazing. I just noticed that. Jeez. I also don't like George's purple glasses. I think he needed regular sunglasses, like some Ray-Bans or something would look good on him.
Well, I mean,
why is this guy making all these fashion mistakes?
Well, but that's fashionable for him.
I don't know. I think the purple ones look stupid.
Well, they look pretty cool on Bono. whoa.
Well, they match his jacket. That's why he's wearing them. Okay. He's a little ahead of me.
They're like all over Michael's boyfriend. Like the current one.
Oh, they're ragging him? Yeah. Oh, the current one.
Yeah, they think he killed him.
Why?
I don't know why.
Seriously?
Yeah, like there's been some big fight.
Here, it's in this story, too.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, the media over there has been, you know, everybody wants to question this guy. I don't know why they're pointing fingers at him. I think because he claimed like they were closer than what they really were. Let's see.
He was claiming that he and George were closer than they were.
Officers are stepping up the investigation of the days leading up to George's death, focusing on those who came and went to see George. They're going through closed-circuit television. Singer was found dead in his bed at his home by his boyfriend, Fadi Fawaz. Since then, it's emerged that the couple had split a number of times in the months leading up to the star's death, but they had always found themselves back in touch. Like a retap. Fawaz is said to have slept in his car the night before finding Michael dead.
Yeah, could somebody explain that? Why did he sleep in his car?
Because he murdered George Michael.
Well, then why would he drive away?
Because he had to be the one to find him. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. He did find him. I forgot about that. So he had to leave the house and come back.
Maybe George was just like, doesn't allow him to sleep in his bed. Because like I said, post-coitus, when the room comes back to you, it's like, oh, get out of here. I want to watch some telly. Beat it.
I don't want some stranger in my Australian hotel. Get out of here.
No, this is his boyfriend at his house.
Yeah, I know.
He's kicking him out of his house. Beat it. He won't even let him stay in his house. He makes him sleep in the car.
Because he just got off.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want him anywhere near him. He was disgusted by
him. Come back tomorrow when my sperm counts up.
On January 2nd, Mr. Fawaz denied sending tweets saying that the star was suicidal, claiming his Twitter account.
I was wondering about that, by the way. Why would someone hack that guy's Twitter? I think he was. I think
Fadi Fawaz,
send those
he probably
out
was suicidal.
And felt stupid afterwards.
Has the toxicology come back on him?
No. I haven't heard it, if it has.
Fawaz and his father joined Michael on a secret trip to a hospital in Vienna last November to see two
Did you find
doctors.
That weird that his father went?
Yeah, that's weird.
Dad, my boyfriend is so depressed. Will you go to the depression clinic with me? You're 50. Why should I go with you?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Because he's isn't he like 50.
I think Dad just wanted a free trip to Austria.
Oh, yeah, he's like figured it out. It's all on George.
Yeah.
It's in Switzerland, too,
well,
right?
You're banging my son. I might as well go for a free trip to Vienna.
Yeah,
let's
why not?
Go.
What the heck?
What?
Hey, did you see... Well, I know you saw that Tim Lester got hired for Western Michigan, right?
Yeah. Oh, Western, by the way, is going to sell Row the Boat to Minnesota.
That's exactly what I wanted to bring up. I am so annoyed at this Row the Boat story. First of all, the suggestion that Western might continue using it.
I know.
Fuck you. The new coach is going to go, I don't want that stupid Row the Boat. That's the old coach who, by the way, came up with it when his child died.
Mm-hmm.
His baby died, and he said, you know, he thought of rowing the boat as just a way to, like, put one foot in front of the other, just keep
get
going.
Past it, yeah.
And the school buys it and trademarks it?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Shouldn't Western just give it to Minnesota?
Yes, of course.
For, I don't know, some stupid trade. Like,
you should have heard that the AD is Kathy Beauregard or something.
Oh, Kathy Beauregard.
Yeah, I know. That's not a very nice name for a woman, is it?
Beauregard?
Sound rather masculine. Of course, she's the AD, so maybe she picked it. Maybe it's a fake name. It's a stage name.
It's a pseudonym.
But the way that it was discussed, it was like, well, it's business. It needs to be this. We need to figure this out. Because people are suggesting, like, well, gee, isn't that sort of his thing?
College athletics, it certainly is business, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it became business because Western Michigan put it on stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But that doesn't make it any less his idea, his philosophy, or whatever. Just because he shared it with his team, I'm sure he didn't say, hey, put it on everything. Make it spend a lot of money on it. No, they decided to do that. But then they trademark it, obviously, behind his back, because you know he would have trademarked it himself if it came down to it. But he probably thought, oh, that's so stupid, I'm not going to trademark
it. Well, Western should just give it to him.
Minnesota should not pay a dime for it. First of all, I don't think he should even use it.
Well, he wants to use it. Remember when this first
he
came
wants
up?
To use it at Minnesota?
Yeah, he's been talking about
he
it.
He has?
Yeah, when, I didn't even know that. During his opening news conference, he was talking about bringing it and how, you know.
We're trying to raise about $600,000 to purchase this phrase that I've been using for the last 10 years of my life.
Well,
now that a school owns it.
He honestly seems like a really good guy, and I think it is something, honestly, that personal to him. Probably pisses him off that Western.
I'd be fucking livid. Yeah.
Western,
the fact that they would even ask for a dime for something he used to get over his son's death, that's disgusting.
Remember when he went there and I was telling you about Ski-U-Ma being Minnesota's big cheer?
Yes.
He actually had a quote about it, too, regarding Row the Boat in Ski-U-Ma.
What did he say?
The story of Ski-U-Ma. There's a canoe, which is a boat. You got a paddle, which is an oar. And we've got the Northern Star here, which is our compass. And I'll tell you a quick story. The minute my wife Heather and I read Wikipedia together, because I'll be honest with you, I had to read it. I don't want people having to look up Ski-U-Ma on Wikipedia. I want it to be a national brand and a national saying. So now it's going to encompass a little bit of row the boat in there, here and there, okay? I promise you somehow, some way, but that's our vision. The minute we saw that and there was a paddle and there was a canoe and there was a star, we looked at each other and said, don't ignore the signs. And we didn't ignore the signs. And that's why we're here, the University of Minnesota.
Amen. I'll run through a wall for that guy.
He's a good dude.
No, he seems like a good guy. I was reading the comments on the hiring of Tim Lester.
Yeah.
It's so funny because these are Western fans primarily commenting, as opposed to every Michigan and Michigan State story, which is all Michigan and Michigan State people pissing on each other. It's so obnoxious. I can't even stand to read them. They're so stupid.
Very dumb.
But anyway, these are Western people, and a lot of them are like, oh, screw PJ Fleck. Good riddance. Like, what?
Okay, you just really? Brought you the best season you've ever had.
Yeah,
okay.
You're never going to go to the Cotton Bowl again. Are you joking?
Yeah.
I mean, they really were like, almost like they're glad he's gone, or he lied. He said he was going to stay longer.
He
had a contract you didn't fulfill. It's do you know anything about big time college?
No,
athletics?
I know. And who's to say Lester's not going to be any good anyway? I remember when he played at Western. Remember when
he's a great quarterback.
Really good.
Yeah, 4-year starter. For I think the third most yardage in.
But he's a fairly young guy here.
He's 39 years old.
Yeah, okay.
He's only 3 years older than Fleck.
I fit.
There it is.
Onward for the browning gold. Push him back up, push him back and bring his fame. Fight on for Western. Over one, over all, we will reign. Fight, Broncos, fight. Fight with all your might. Oh, Western, win the game.
Da, 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 da.
Get him out of here.
What happened to the fight song turd?
Disappeared.
We're never going to find that guy.
Now, Matt Nelson, if anybody knows him.
Wouldn't you think he would have turned up somewhere, though? I mean, he had schtick. He had schtick.
He did eventually. Remember, he was going to do a radio tour?
Oh.
And we weren't allowed on it.
I couldn't believe he remembered it.
I don't know. Listeners were really mean to him.
I know. Well, it was my fault because I called him the fight song turd, and I told him it was a term of affection.
It was, though, kind of.
I know,
of,
but
right?
The listeners took it as, this is someone to beat up.
Pile on. Which it was.
Well, kind of, yeah. But he was really serious about his craft. The fact that he knew every fight song in the country.
It's not a craft.
To him, it's a craft. Don't not call it a craft.
Lester, by the way, my favorite stat that's come out about Tim Lester is that there are now two coaches in football that played in the XFL.
Oh, how funny.
Because Lester played in the XFL.
Who's the other one?
Brom, who is now, where's he at, Purdue or Indiana? I can't remember which one, but yeah.
There was a lot of bitching about Tim Lester. Like, couldn't they get somebody better? Couldn't they get someone bigger? We just went to the Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
I mean, people really, I think they think Western's going to join the Big Ten any day now.
They are a little bit behind the eight ball because he took the job so late. But who are they going to get?
He's a former quarterback for the he's one of the most best players in the history of the school. You're not going to do much better than that.
Let me guess. Was there a comment on there where somebody wanted Les Miles?
Yes, Les Miles was mentioned.
Are you shitting me?
His name was associated with the job for 1 minute.
Oh, please.
It was. I mean, I read
not,
it.
Not from Les Miles.
I don't think so. No, I doubt it. Of course not.
They should have hired Brady Hoke.
That's funny.
Could you imagine?
Brady Hoke was mentioned in the comments, too. Like, oh, this is just another Brady Hoke. Like, we're going to find, you know, this guy's going to practice what he doesn't know on our school.
Oh, come on.
Brady Hoke didn't have a very good year this year, did he?
No, not at all.
Was last in the country or something?
Yeah, now he's out of a job, out of a gig. Boy.
Isn't Michigan still paying him?
Probably. Oregon's probably still going to pay him. I doubt he had a one-year deal to go there. I mean, it's possible. It's probably unlikely, though.
Yeah.
Remember when Charlie Weiss was being played by three schools at one
time? Oh, I know. God, he had a 10-year deal at Notre Dame or something, and he didn't get blown out of the third year.
Yeah, so they had to keep paying him, and then he went to Kansas to be the head coach. They got blown out there. They were paying him. And then to go to Florida to be a coordinator, he got blown out, and they were paying him.
Jeez.
I know.
The Patriot job is the one he left, though, wasn't it? Wasn't he offensive coordinator for the Patriots?
Yeah, for Tom Brady.
That's what got him on the map.
Of course. Uh-huh. And look how imperative he was to Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, right. I know. Wasn't that funny how guys like to take credit for these? Like, all the people took credit for Brett Favre. I mean, there were like four coaches who claimed they brought made Brett Favre. Hey, we need to find a case for Gold Star Law somehow. Mm-hmm. I have a case, but unfortunately it's my case and it's too late to sue.
Oh, yeah.
I told you about my overtime deal.
Yeah, bullshit, yeah.
At this Roanoke radio station where I used to have to work. Well, I worked the middle of the day, like 10 to 3, a five-hour shift, playing music.
Yeah.
And then the morning guy, he and I became friends.
New talent so, when he saw it.
Yeah, he did. He said, I want you to do the morning show. I want you to do sports. And he was the PD, too. Mm-hmm. Like, well, it was, and I wanted to do it. So I used to get there at 6 o'clock in the morning for his show. And then I'd be on till 3. So I had a 9-hour day, 5 days a week. We were only supposed to work 40 hours. And then I had a weekend shift. So I had 49 hours before I did any production. And when I got my first check, I'd worked like 52 hours or something. And it was just like $15 over what a 40-hour week would pay me. And I'm like, wait, what happened to my – what is this? Where's the overtime? And somebody explained to me, well, the way the overtime works is – they give you descending pay for every overtime hour you work to give you incentive to get your work done in 40 hours. And I'm like, but I work 45 hours before I even do production.
The incentive is to not work.
The incentive is to not pay you is basically what it is. And people have been getting screwed by this for years, decades. People are getting screwed by this. And so, I mean, that'd be a perfect case for Gold Star, although it wouldn't be much. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. People screwing you at work. I mean, that's really a small-time example. But... I don't know, maybe being sexually harassed at work. Maybe you work over 40 hours a week and you don't get overtime. If you have any type of employment law issue, Gold Star Law can help. Call 248-851-GOLD or go to goldstarlaw.com. They are the biggest by volume employment law firm in the state. They file more cases in this area than all the other firms combined. I mean, this is their bread and butter, employment law. If you have a problem with this is where you need to go. Have you lost a promotion or missed out on a raise because of your age, race, or gender? Ageism is, that's a bigger deal, isn't it now?
Yeah. We just saw it on an episode of Workaholics.
Have you been seriously injured on the job? An episode of Workaholics?
Yeah,
Workaholics. There's a show called Workaholics?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was telling you about it. Remember they had 69 man?
Oh, yeah.
They got rid of anybody over 30, but they kept 69 man.
If you're being paid unfairly, discriminated against at work, or been injured on the job, you need to call our friends at Gold Star Law. And by the way, it's not like you have to come up with a big pile of money to hire them. Mm-hmm. They'll take your case. They'll work the case. Hopefully, they'll win the case, and you'll get paid when they win
Everyone's
the case.
Everyone's
a winner. So will they.
Yeah.
That's how it works. The call is free. The meeting with the attorney is free. You pay nothing until they win for you. It's completely confidential. They do not contact your employer. Gold Star filed more employment law cases in Michigan last year than all the other firms combined, as I mentioned earlier. It's what they do, and the other attorneys and judges know what they say is true, which is why we highly recommend them. Call Gold Star Law and get the money you deserve. Call 248-851-GOLD, 248-851-GOLD, or click goldstarlaw.com. They do other things, but this is what they really do.
Yeah.
And then nice. I mentioned...
people over there.
Yeah, really nice. Thanks for giving us a shot at it, PJ. I hope we find you a case or three or 12. And we found a buyer for a Zot F-150. Brian, what's his name?
Fanning? Flanagan or
Fanning, right?
Something Irish. Fanning.
Fanning. F-A-H-N-I-N-G. Fanning.
Yeah, he picked up a Ford F-150 at Zot Ford.
Sweet.
Our studio sponsor, DealsInTheD.com, and Zot Ford are beyond excited to finally partner up with the Drew and Mike podcast and be the official studio sponsor. Yes, they're sponsoring our basement. They are. Isn't that nice? To celebrate this momentous occasion, our friends at Zot in Holly will be offering up to 30% off select new vehicles for the month of January. 30%. Swing out to Zot at I-75 and exit 98. Tell them we sent you. Sit back and watch the magic happen. Surf their insane deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. You can find out what you're going to pay for any vehicle. You can even find out what the A-Plan price would be. Which how much is A-Plan typically different from the price?
It's a lot better.
I mean, is it
plan is it's significant? Yeah.
I mean, is it $1,000 or a little less than 1,000? Because I noticed on the Zot on the dealsinthed.com site, it ranged from, you know, $450 to maybe $700, and I thought maybe that meant Zot's prices were low because I always thought A Plan meant you got a better deal than that.
It's but worth it.
It's significant. Oh yeah, it's well worth it.
Oh yeah.
It's Zot Ford and Holly. They love to make buying or leasing your next new Ford fun, simple, easy, and hassle-free. They pride themselves on taking care of their partners, and our listeners are the newest partners for Zot, and they couldn't be more excited. So come lease a new 17 Ford Fusion for only $119 a month. $119 a month. Or lease a new 16 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 at just $173 per month. Both are 24-month leases. See the phenomenal deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Studio sponsor.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to bring up that that Hitler story, too, I thought was kind of interesting. That Hitler might have escaped and faked his death.
That sounds like something Hitler would do, right?
Yeah, weasel like that. Did you read that story?
How would he get away, though?
I know. I just didn't believe it right away, but I pulled it out.
Left
anyway.
That bunker? I thought that, didn't he take cyanide with Ava?
With Ava, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were just selling Ava's panties, remember?
Oh, like, yeah, but there was a huge stain in it, too.
I know, it was gross.
We couldn't tell if it was brown or red.
Oh, Mark.
I think it was categorized as rust.
God! Oh. Experts claim Hitler...
Hey, it's been many years. Too soon?
Way too soon. It's only been 72 years. 45 plus 72 is 17. 117.
Nice standing up for Ava Braun.
Adolf Hitler escaped. Hey, come on. Ava's panties deserve respect. Adolf Hitler escaped just because she had bad taste in men, admittedly. Her taste was a little off.
And then she was in too deep. She couldn't get away.
You know, how could you? God, this is really amazing. That's really bad taste. That's incredibly bad taste. Can you imagine her saying, but he was so fun when you were alone with him.
He's a great artist.
Adolf Hitler escaped alive from his Berlin bunker.
You don't know the real Adolf.
Yes. You weren't alone with him like I was. He was a gentle lover. He was secretly flown to a secure military compound in Argentina where his legion of Nazi supporters hoped to create the Fourth Reich.
Oh, boy. Well, a lot of them ended up in Argentina the rat trail or whatever to escape out of Europe.
Well, yeah, didn't they find some of the biggest scumbags?
Caught a lot of them down there.
Yeah,
huh?
They did. Where was Mengele found? Didn't he drown?
I don't know. Doctor?
Dr. Mengele.
Show some respect.
Yes, of course.
He earned his doctorate.
May not be as far-fetched as it sounds, according to the latest Hunting Hitler series, which airs on the History Channel tomorrow. Oh, is this a History Channel ad? Is
cool.
That what this is? Former CIA operatives, a U.S. Special Forces sergeant who was involved in the capture of al-Qaeda leaders, investigated whether Führer indeed escaped to a new life in South America. Sifting through 14,000 declassified documents, they discovered there could be an alternative truth to the accepted story that Führer committed suicide along with his wife, Eva Braun, April 30, 1945. Mm. One document claims Hitler was flown out of the German capital by Luftwaffe pilot Captain Peter Baumgart the day before he purportedly took his own life. Hmm. Pear also found evidence of a previous unknown fifth exit from the bunker. Whoa!
A fifth exit?
A fifth exit? There were four exits already from a bunker?
It's not much of a bunker. It's a house.
Yeah, that's That's not going to hide too
well. Actually, it's more than a house. My house doesn't have that many exits.
Led to an area large enough for a makeshift runway. Another document reveals an SS officer claiming to have seen Hitler in Denmark shortly before changing planes to his final destination. What, he waved to the guy?
No, he didn't.
An evidence surface of a military-style compound where Hitler may have stayed after his arrival. The Fuhrer had plans for a Fourth Reich Center. A Fourth Reich? Get out of here. How's he going to start a Fourth Reich? He just got his ass handed to him in the war.
I know. Nice learning curve, Hitler.
Dumbass. Not to mention he's responsible for killing 6 million people.
Yeah. Please tell me there's a picture of him walking around like a beach in Argentina where he still has the stupid mustache.
I know, they, like, you figure they would come up with Hawaiian a picture shirt. Like that to go along with the story.
A real grainy one.
A Hawaiian shirt.
He's got his hand up like, no pictures. So don't want any pictures.
Or lounging around the house in a T-shirt and sweatpants with a baseball hat on.
One ball hanging out of his shorts.
Yeah, if he was so smart. He wouldn't have one testicle. What happened to him? What if his brother kicked him like my high school coach? Why did he have one testicle? Do we know why?
I don't remember why. Is that true? How do we know he only had one testicle?
I don't know. I've just heard it so many times. It's got to be true. Anytime something is said, it's the Mike Clark theory. If he says it enough, it becomes true.
Yeah. Just like Michael Che was saying on Weekend Update about Trump and the pee.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to end up being true like Richard Gere in the Gerbil.
I know. Well, he showed the picture of Richard Gere and said, what do I think of when I see this picture? A gerbil.
Of course.
How did that story get so... I mean, everyone has heard that story.
Because it's ridiculous.
But why did it have the ability to just grab the nation?
I don't know. It's just like Rod Stewart and the whole... the
USC football team?
Yeah.
The stomach pump.
Port of semen, which Rachel Hunter even knew about.
Yes, she did. She laughed. I almost got the impression they got a kick out of it.
I don't know if Rod got a kick out of it.
She seemed to laugh about it.
Well, yeah, but she was divorced from him when we talked to him, wasn't she, by then?
No. Wait, what? She was still with him. I thought she was.
Oh, okay.
It's been a while. Maybe you're right. Yeah, I don't know about this Hitler story. It sounds ridiculous to me.
Because, you know, there's no way Hitler's shaving off that stash, no matter what. Oh, no, she would have been married to him then. They didn't get divorced till 08, Drew.
Oh, yeah, they were married. Because I remember she had a much better sense of humor about it than I anticipated. I was afraid that she was going to bum out, but I knew I had to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they were definitely together.
Today in Rock for January the 15th, brought to you by... Dr. Roche, www.droche. Whatever you want, whatever you need, they can do it. They can make it look better. 1961, the Supremes signed with Motown. Originally, they were the Primettes. I didn't know they had another name. I thought they started at Motown, but no. They were Motown's biggest success with 12 number ones, although I would argue that Smokey probably.
Yeah.
Smokey or Marvin Gaye. Smokey Robinson, I guess. Because he wrote so many songs for so many people. 1965 on this day, The Who released their first single, I Can't Explain. Mm-hmm. What I never knew about this was the studio producer ended up playing guitar on the song, a young Jimmy Page, who played on many songs.
Yeah.
He plays on everything. But I didn't know he played on Can't Explain. Because you just think of that one guitar, that dun, 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 dun. 1967, the infamous Stones appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show. Where he was forced, Mick was forced to change the lyrics from "Let's Spend the Night Together" to "Let's Spend Some Time Together."
Yeah, dumb.
And the funny thing is, and I've seen the shot of Mick rolling his eyes as he says it, but I didn't realize that Ed Sullivan said they'll never be on the show again. He rolled his eyes,
oh
the bastard,
God, what a tyrant.
He loved kicking people off the show.
Total tyrant.
1969, George Harrison had a 5-hour meeting with the other Beatles, revealing he was prepared to quit the band. If McCartney kept pushing the Beatles to play live, he actually did end up quitting for 3 days in studio tape, which was just found in 2002, I think, revealed John Lennon saying, if he's not back in a couple days, we'll get Eric to take his place. But he came back, and of course Ringo had put flowers, or no, it was when Ringo quit, George bought flowers and put them all around the drum kit. I don't know what they did for George when he came back. I think he just said, hey, pick up your guitar, let's play. 1972, Led Zeppelin's Black Dog debuted on the U.S. singles chart. which is really, thinking of Led Zeppelin having a single just seems odd.
Weird.
It reached number 15, and it referred to a black lab that was wandering around the Headley Grange Studios during the recording of that record.
Hey, wherever you can find inspiration, right?
Yeah, pretty simple.
I suppose.
It's never one of my favorite Zeppelin songs, but certainly a well-known one. On the same day as Black Dog debuting, American Pie was number one. Don McLean was asked, what does it mean? Because, you know, people thought the day the music died was Buddy Holly's plane crash.
Yeah, it's not.
It hardly died.
I mean, isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, yeah, it is. Oh, okay. I believe it is. But
no one knew that then?
When he was asked, he wouldn't really reveal. He said, what it really means is I never have to work again.
Oh,
it was such
McLean.
A big hit. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, God.
1992, D. Murray, Elton John's bass player, died of a stroke at age 45. He was in the band forever. In fact, he still has the same band. Elton John still has the same band he had in the early 70s.
Would you leave?
No, I wouldn't leave. Hell no. Although I think the drummer tried to. What's his name? Davey Johnstone plays guitar and... God, I wonder what's the drummer's name. Nigel Olsen. He tried to have a solo career, I think, and it bombed. Harry Nilsson died on this day in 1994 of heart failure at age 45. He was a legendary partier.
Yeah, which never made much sense listening to his music, really.
No, not really.
It's bizarre about it.
He did have some weird...
Can't live. Isn't that him?
Living is without you. Yeah, that was a Badfinger song. I didn't realize Badfinger wrote
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah,
know
it
that.
Was. It sure was. But it wasn't a hit for them. He did Everybody's Talking. He wrote for Three Dog Night. He wrote for
Everybody's
the
Talking.
Everybody's talking about me. It was a giant hit. Huge hit.
Which one? This one? Or
Without You. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's Talking was a big hit, too.
Well, all I think of is Voight, John Voight movie.
Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah, Midnight Cowboy.
Absolutely.
Love Walking, yeah.
I think Everybody's Talking won the Oscar for Best Song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it did.
Cool.
I know it was nominated at least. 2002, former British pop star Adam Ant was admitted to a psych ward after pulling a gun on a staff at a restaurant.
Come on, Ant.
Gone south for
Get out of here.
And also January the 15th, American producer and musician Kim Fowley died of bladder cancer at 75. Boy, it's a big day for rock and roll deaths, isn't it?
Wow.
He managed the Runaways, and he also wrote a bunch of novelty songs in the 60s, like Alley Oop and Popsicles and Icicles and Papa Mau Mau.
Yeah, okay.
Alley Oop was such a stupid
Alley-oop.
Song. And then 2016, a year ago, 19 of David Bowie's albums entered the album charts following his death on this day.
It's also a day, and today's the anniversary of when Sully hit those birds.
Sully's anniversary?
Yeah, not when he landed in the Hudson. It's the anniversary when he hit the birds.
Wait, didn't he land in the Hudson the same
day? Well, yeah, but I like to focus on the fact that he hit those birds.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the bad Sully. The good Sully is the Sully that landed in the water successfully.
You know, it's also the anniversary of the first Super Bowl, I believe.
I still don't understand that movie, by the way.
Sully?
The movie Sully focuses... Wait, is it Sully? Is that the name of the movie?
I would think so.
Probably. Yeah, it's Tom Hanks. But the movie focuses on the fact that he should have turned around and come back, and like they're these... commissions are ragging him for doing such a shitty job, and it's like, wait, nobody died.
Well,
he landed perfectly on the water. It was scary as hell, I'm sure, but how could you possibly rag on him when everyone lived?
That's because that would be the end. The movie would be 5 minutes long. It'd be the length of the actual flight because there's no drama before he hit those birds.
But that's kind of what I thought of the movie anyway. I thought, what kind of going to make a whole movie out of that?
I know.
It's like the actual event was 5 minutes.
The drama is from hitting the birds to when he landed. It's like, okay, end of this story. Nobody cares after that. I mean, unless you were on the plane.
They just made a big to-do out of the fact that that they were giving him shit. I don't even know that they were. I don't even believe that.
Did anybody go, hey, why'd you hit those birds in the first place, Sullenberger?
Do you remember him getting a lot of crap?
No.
I remember him being a hero and nothing else.
Yeah, I remember him trying to go to Teterboro, where Maz tried to meet that person. And then just putting the bird down in the Hudson.
That guy's still at Teterboro.
Waiting.
Yes. Oh, wasn't it a female?
It was a chick, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Oh, man. So, anyway, thanks again to Zot Ford for
big
creating DealsInTheD.com studios.
And thanks to...
Brian?
Is that his name?
Brian Fanning?
Fanning, yeah, that's Flanagan. Him.
That's our band.
Brian Forever Flanagan now.
Whatever. He can have whatever name he wants. I'm glad he's using our advertiser.
I know. It's huge.
And huge. We should probably wrap it up because we have a football game to watch the end of.
Yeah, 15-9 partial score.
Oh, is it? It's 15-9?
Yeah, Pittsburgh added a field goal. Isn't that a great score, 15-9?
15-9? It seems crazy. Stupid. Is it fourth quarter yet?
No, getting towards the end of the third.
All right, so we can watch the most important part of the game. And we got a podcast in today.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
And it's on a holiday, kind of. Not
no, we definitely, we worked a holiday. We clearly worked a holiday. That was madness. Jay's working tomorrow.
Jay.
What's wrong with you?
I know. You guys see the L.A. Chargers change their logo already?
Yeah, yeah. They've changed it like five times.
I haven't seen the new logo. What's it look like?
I don't know. I just know they pulled the first one. They threw out. Matt sent a picture to us.
Oh, he did?
When you guys were on your auto show date.
Oh, yeah. That's,
send that out there, buddy.
That's the one where they copied the Dodgers and added the Tampa Bay Lightning Bolt. And then they changed it. They've changed it twice since then. They changed the color scheme, and then they changed the wording.
The Chargers have the coolest logo of anybody. Don't I mean, the Bolt?
Just the Bolt. It should just so be cool. The Bolt. But they're trying to capitalize on the whole L.A. thing.
But don't change the Bolt.
No, you should just leave it the Bolt and make people think of you as the Chargers, not necessarily the fact that you bolted on, you know, San Diego for L.A. Absolutely. Which I still got to ask Tom that question, if he's happy about that or mad. Because he was very happy when St. Louis went to L.A., right?
He's been both.
Yeah.
He's been happy and bummed.
Speaking of Tom, a tweet just popped up because he included me in it. And it said, what game are you listening to? I was like, oh, what was that? That was obviously in response to somebody because he included the podcast Twitter link, which is at Drew Mike Podcast as well. And another tweet or name that I didn't know. So I looked it up. And this guy tweeted to Tom, man, Al is straight killing it tonight. Great broadcast so far. Insight, play by play. What say you, Tom Mazzaway?
Oh, damn it. I still don't understand why he hates Al Michaels. It makes no sense to me.
He thinks Al Michaels is arrogant for some reason.
For why? Is there any reason ever given?
He finds watching him to be, you know, and I'm sorry, by the way, it's 15-7, not 15-9. He finds him to be super arrogant because of the way he talks on the broadcast, like a know-it-all.
Asshole.
Which he should be a know-it-all.
Well, he should
right?
know-it-all yeah. because he's the play-by-play guy.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, compared to Pat Summerall, his idol, I mean, to me, Al Michaels puts Pat Summerall to shame as a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, I don't. Did Al replace somebody that Tom really liked?
I don't know.
Mother
I have no idea.
Effort.
Who used to be on Monday Night Football before Al?
Giff? Was that Giff before? What, did he replace Giff? Was he the first guy after Giff?
I don't know. That's one of the only ways I can think Tom would not like somebody because they replaced another broadcaster. That he
it's so liked. Deep, though. He's so angry about it.
I know. It really is weird.
Don't get it.
I'm sure he'll tell you if you want to bring it up.
All right, shutting down here, the DealsNDD.com studios. The lights are turning out.
Thank you for powering them, DealsNDD.com.
You can only see the neon DealsNDD.com lights. Keith Jackson was the first, and he loves pointing that out, even though he was only on for a year, which means he was disappointing as the Monday Night Football announcer.
Yeah.
Frank Gifford was second. Al Michaels was after Frank.
So is that why? Because he replaced Giff?
And then Gary Bender.
Really?
Gary Bender? Oh, that's... Yeah. Oh, number two, Mike Patrick, number two, 97-95.
Mike Patrick was great.
Oh, the second game. They had two games a couple times.
Oh, that's right.
That's
the first game of the season.
That's right. Okay. And the color commentators, Howard Cosell, Don Meredith, Fred Williamson, Alex Karras, Frank Tarkin, O.J., Joe Namath, Frank Gifford, Dan Dierdorf, Lynn Swan, Joe Theismann, Dan Fouts.
Oh, Lynn Swan was awful.
I know, he's horrible. Boomer, Dennis Miller.
I didn't mind Dennis Miller. I really didn't.
John Madden, Paul McGuire. I didn't mind him either. I just felt like I'd rather hear him somewhere else. I'd rather hear him talking about other stuff.
Who was Boomer on with? No, it was Fouts was on with Miller. And I felt bad, right? It was Dan Fouts. I felt bad for Fouts because it was like Michaels and Miller just hanging out. And Fouts was the third
Al
wheel.
Al Michaels loved having Dennis Miller there. They were total buddies.
The football game's the third wheel, really.
Yes.
They were kind of bummed they had to talk about a football game. All right.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.